This is Peter Francis, President of Clinical Laboratory Sales Training, and this paper is entitled, Why Won't the Prospect Switch to My Lab? This was written in August of 2010. For representatives new to the laboratory industry that sell into the physician market, it really may come as a frustrating surprise that no one seems interested in talking about adding or substituting another lab service to their office practice. For the customer who has no perceived problem with their lab service, it begs the question, why would anyone bother listening to a representative explain an alleged Me Too lab service? Familiar themes. There exist many answers to the question of this article's title. The following is not an exhaustive list, but familiar ones. There's no major difference between the lab we use and your lab. Well, why fix things if it ain't broke? We've been using the lab for years. It's too much of a hassle to make a switch. Your lab doesn't take all the insurances we accept, and we don't want to add another lab to the mix we're using right now. We have Acme EMR, and you say your lab hasn't built an interface to that brand. The doctor went to school with, or he's friends with, the pathologist at our primary lab. It's political. The hospital expects us to use their lab. The lab donated toward our EMR, and we feel a certain obligation. Our lab gives us competitive pricing. Our lab is located in town. We really prefer to keep things local. The lab has a convenient patient service center right here in the building. Excuse, objection, or condition. Some of the above remarks can be considered excuses. Others can be thought of as objections. And finally, some might be regarded as conditions. An excuse is the reason given to conceal the real intention for not wanting to investigate a different lab service. Responses such as, your lab is too far away, or the print on your requisition is just too small, these typically decipher into rather lame excuses. If the salesperson uncovers true needs that are not being addressed by the incumbent lab and deemed important enough by the decision maker, things such as geography or requisitions would probably not be a deal breaker. Objections typically surface when the client has compared certain aspects of the proposing lab to that of the incumbent lab, and they're challenging the features. This usually means the salesperson has blurted out some attributes, giving way to immediate objections from the client. Frequently, this translates into not questioning the client enough about needs, both personal work-related and general office-based. Objection prevention always outguns handling objections. Condition falls under another form of excuse, but many salespeople fail to understand the concept. This means there is a genuine condition for not moving forward in the sales process. An example could be, well, we have Acme EMR, and you say your lab is not interfaced with Acme EMR. Or, your lab doesn't have any patient service centers nearby for our patients. Or, the hospital owns this practice, and we're obligated to use their lab. Be wary, however, about certain so-called conditions. The rep should qualify if the statement means a true condition. The customer may think it is, but it may be, in all reality, a convenient excuse. The follow-up question for the rep to ask, therefore, is, so from what I understand, what you're saying is that conditions exist in order for my lab to be considered. If our lab were to do whatever, would you use us then? Unfortunately, many representatives fail to do this, and they walk away without validating the so-called condition. Another point pertains to triangulating responses with others within the account. Frequently, a salesperson will accept, for example, the office manager's response as gospel and naturally thinks the provider holds the same opinion. Not necessarily so. Five reason categories. There exist five categories into which prospects will mentally segment their reasons for not wanting to change to or even try a different lab. Sometimes it may be only one category. Sometimes it may be several. One is price. Another one is capability. A third one is reputation. A fourth is ambivalence. And finally, the fifth is political. If a client looks for the cheapest price, the incumbent lab stands in a rather precarious position. a different lab could waltz in and offer something 50 cents cheaper, and the client may go for it. In contrast, the salesperson should provide basic differences that mean something to the customer and that translates into value for the client. Capability transcends a wide area, ranging from insurance contracts to convenient patient service centers, to connectivity, certain tests and methods, to pickup service, and even pathology specialty. Sometimes something as a banal transport supply can be a deal breaker. Within the capability segment sits the term strategic. An office manager or physician may state there are, quote, strategic reasons why they remain with a certain primary lab. This usually transposes into either, one, a lack of matching capabilities from the proposing lab, and or two, political alliances. Reputation speaks for itself. If the prospect has experienced poor prior service, has heard negative comments, or doesn't like the representative, there's a tall mountain to climb. Select individuals within an account may have negative feelings for a certain lab, causing a subversionary theme and subsequent no sale. If the causative employee leaves the office, opportunities may present themselves for rejuvenating discussions. Sometimes a new representative can make all the difference in how the client perceives the laboratory. Ambivalence ranks as one of the highest reasons to not try a laboratory. When uncertainty raises its ugly head, two forces endure. One is no trust or credibility with a salesperson, and two, no perceived value in the proposing lab. Building both of these over time through consistent interaction with the decision maker and support staff, for example, like offering education of new tests or methods, maybe installing a nearby patient service center and so forth, all of these will increase the chances of gaining business. Those who promote pathology services have less opportunity to talk about something different as opposed to their clinical lab brethren. Representatives, however, can still differentiate their pathology lab, for example, by having a complete understanding of how specimens are processed, all of the quality control steps, connectivity options, location, turnaround time, insurance contracts, or the report format. The political category relates to the strongest force of either choosing or remaining with a laboratory. Political and emotional decisions override logical ones. Period. If a hospital owns a doctor's practice, there typically prevails an expectation the office will use the hospital lab. Personal relationships between the provider and the pathologist, especially through a medical school, also provide strong ties. Specialist pathologists such as dermatology, urology, GI, hematology, oncology, and so forth, additionally binds allegiance to corresponding clinical specialists. The psychology factor. Let's assume the position that a prospective customer has no urgency to change lab vendors, but they might if there were some compelling reason. It precipitates down into building credibility because the sales representative accounts for one of the first things that a client considers when making or adding a lab change. Obviously, for things to change in an office, somebody has to start doing something differently. And to make this happen, the competitor sales rep has to use psychology to reach the hearts and minds of various people within the office, and especially the decision maker. Unfortunately, the brain is not of one mind. We all have, in essence, two independent systems at work in our bodies all the time. One resides on the emotional side, which is the heart. This is the instinctive part that feels pleasure and pain. The other lives on the rational side, which is the mind. This is the conscious system, the section that analyzes things and looks into the future. It may be best to understand these two systems using an easy analogy: a rhinoceros and a jockey sitting on top. The rhino equals the emotional side, and the jockey holds the reins, exemplifying the rational sector. It might seem apparent that the jockey sits as the person in charge. However, the jockey's stature lies in direct contrast to the large size of the rhinoceros. Anytime the rhino and the jockey disagree as to the direction, the jockey, which is rationalization, is going to lose. reflect for a moment on the statement mentioned before that political and emotional decisions override logical ones. It's just strictly human bias. It's the way we humans are made. Sales efforts often fail because the marketer keeps tugging at the rational side of the decision maker and doesn't make any attempt to reach the emotional side. Topics such as turnaround time, internal quality control processes, state-of-the-art methods, the lab location, insurance contracts, these all aim at the rational portion of the brain. Combining the rational and emotional components can create a dramatic change in the prospect's thought process. To put it another way, when a salesperson tries to influence a customer, he or she usually tinkers with behaviors that have become ingrained and automatic, and that's jockey territory. If you reach the jockey but not the rhino, your prospect will have understanding without motivation. The key resides in also motivating the rhinoceros, the emotional segment. When both components move together, something magical materializes. Patient care percolates within the cauldron of emotion. Everyone within healthcare wants to provide excellent patient care, so translating benefits into enhancing patient care will usually strike a chord and hit a home run with a rhino. Of course, walking into a client's office that recently has been experiencing frustrating issues with the incumbent lab unfolds as a dream for any lab representative. Unfortunately, these types of clients are not ubiquitous. In fact, paying a visit to 20 physician offices, for example, will all yield at least one of the common responses mentioned in the beginning of this article. Adroit questioning techniques enter the equation at this point. So, one may ask, what prevails as the decision-making process people go through in their heads prior to selecting a lab vendor? The salesperson must establish credibility through good questioning techniques because, assuming the lab has field representation, the representative is the first component a client typically thinks of before selecting a lab service. Once trust and credibility have been entrenched, the client will make a determination about the lab itself, for instance, its reputation and heritage. Following the consideration of the lab comes the service offerings. Can this lab meet all of my needs? If pricing is an issue, this will typically fall as the next consideration. And finally, there's the judgment of time to buy. Does the client need a different lab service right away, or are they thinking they should stall? As mentioned before, frequently there exists no perceived urgency to change lab vendors, so it all circles back to the field rep building trust and credibility by having a meaningful dialogue with various people over time. There have been many instances where the new salesperson has simply outsold the incumbent lab. It may not necessarily be a time to buy. There may be no compelling issues at stake forcing a decision. However, the competitor marketing person has done an outstanding job of describing enough important benefits that the client feels worthy to try the proposing lab. He or she has reached the decision maker's rational and emotional parts of the brain. This is what separates the outstanding representative from the average representative. So, if one asks the ultimate question posed within the title of this article, why won't this client switch to my lab? Many times, but not necessarily in every instance, it condenses down to the representative. An interesting question for the client is, if you ever needed to change your primary lab vendor, for whatever reason, who would be your preferred choice? If the client answers with a competitor other than the one the rep works for, the representative has not built enough trust and credibility or enough of his lab's value. If the customer states, "Oh, why, your lab, of course," then the salesperson can say, "Great. With your permission, I'll periodically stop back and keep you informed of new tests and methods that improve patient care. I will also explain how my lab can hopefully meet your needs. Once we both feel it's worthy to move forward, perhaps you will give my lab a trial run." This is Peter Francis, President of Clinical Laboratory Sales Training, and I hope you have enjoyed this article called "Why Won't the Prospect Switch to My Lab?" You can gain further information about my company by going to www.clinlabsales.com.